Jantu, the living entity.
Vai,
certainly.
Certainly.
Bhave, in worldly existence. Etasmin, this. Yam yam,
whatever.
Yonim,
species.
Anu Bridget, he may attain. Tasyam,
tasyam,
in that.
Saha,
he. Lapete, achieves. Nivritim, satisfaction. Na, not. Rajate, is at verse. Translation and Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The living entity, in whatever species of life he appears, finds a particular type of satisfaction in that species. And he is never averse to being situated in such a condition. Translation responsibly. The living entity. In whatever species of life he appears, finds a particular type of satisfaction. In that species. And he is never averse. To being situated in such a condition. Purport. The satisfaction of the living entity in a particular type of body, even if it is most abominable, is called illusion. A man in a higher position may feel dissatisfaction with the standard of life of a lower grade man. But the lower grade man is satisfied in that position because of the spell of Maya, the external energy. Maya has two phases of activities. One is called prakship atmika, and the other is called avaranatmika. Avaranatmika means covering, and prakship atmika means pulling down. In any condition of life, the materialistic person or animal will be satisfied because his knowledge is covered by the influence of Maya. In the lower grade or lower species of life, the development of consciousness is so poor that one cannot understand whether he is happy or distressed. This is called avaranatmika. Even a hog who lives by eating stool finds himself happy, although a person in a high mode of life sees that the hog is eating stool. How abominable that life is. Omagyan, Tibidan Disya, Ginanjana, Shanakaya, Chakshuri, Nalitan, Jaina, Tasmai, Shri, Greve, Namaha, Shri Chaitanya, Manobishtam, Stapitam, Yena, Bhutale, Swayam Rupa, Kadamayam, Kadati, Swa, Padantikam, Pancha, Kalpata, Rubyascha, Kripa, Sindhu, Pyevacha, Petitanam, Pavanebhyo, Vaishna Vebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So this chapter is called Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities. What does that mean? What are adverse fruitive activities? The fruitive activity means a material activity. Fruitive. Fruitive means a fruit. In other words, you do something because you expect something in return. That is called materialistic consciousness. When we're in materialistic consciousness, we do something because we expect something in return. is called the phal. Phal means the fruit. So you will work, just like so many people now, all over Melbourne, they're coming into the CBD. So there's big traffic jams everywhere, right? East Link, West Link, North Link, South Link, every link. It's all a big traffic jam, right? Now, why do they do all the tapasya, all the austerity? Because they get some phal, right? These days, that is called money. Right? If you don't get the money, you won't do the austerity, right? The tapasya. No one works for nothing in this material world. It's very rare. Right? So that is fruitive activity. You'll do the activity only because there's a fruit involved. You get some sense gratification. You'll do dharma, some artha. Artha means economic development, so you can get some sense gratification. Right? Without sense gratification, people are not interested. The whole material world is activated by sex life or sex desire. Prabhupada says in first canto, first chapter, first verse, sex life is the active principle of the material world. Without sex life, it all stops. There's no impetus. There's no
motivation.
Yeah, motivation is good. Driving force. There's no impetus to act without sex life. One time, Prabhupada was caught in a traffic jam in one of the big cities in the world, and Prabhupada just put his head back in disgust and said, sex life. Only sex life. That's why everyone is doing everything. Without sex desire, everything stops in the material world. That is the active principle. That is the impetus for activity. So it is fruitive. Fruitive means you want something. If I get sex life, I'll tolerate all the tapasya, all the austerity. If I get money, right, I will tolerate all the tapasya, all the austerity. Just like in the seventh canto, we hear the pastime of the biggest demon in the history of the material universe. Who is the biggest demon in the history of the material universe? Hiranya Kashipu. So even his name meant sex and money. Hiranya, gold. Kashipu, beds. Golden beds. His beds were made out of gold. He was so wealthy. So his whole life was about money and sex. Srila Prabhupada says, in our lives, we may not have the material facility of Hiranyakashipu. You don't have a golden bed to have sex with, to have sex on. But, Prabhupada says, the most opulent bedstead is the mind. Because in your mind, if you're attached to sex life, sense gratification, money and women, then that is even more opulent than the physical manifestation. It means you're still in Maya. No? Maya is not just external, it's also internal. I was speaking to one Prabhupada disciple one time, an advanced devotee, and I said, Maya is very powerful. He said, Maya is also in here. It's also in your consciousness. And you don't even have to be anywhere, you can be in Maya. You can be chanting Hare Krishna, you can be in Maya. Because in your mind, you're contemplating sex and money. So this is the nature of the material energy. It traps everyone. Bhogaishwarya prasaktanam. Next verse. Next line. Chaitasam. Vyavasyatmika buddhi means fixed intelligence. Your mind cannot be fixed on Krishna if you're attached to bhoga and aishwarya. Bhoga means sense enjoyment, ultimately sex life. Aishwarya means opulence, material facility. So if you're attached to women and wealth, right, or men and wealth, whatever your combination is, you cannot be fixed on Krishna. Vivasayatmika buddhi. The buddhi or the intelligence doesn't stay fixed or contemplating Krishna. So that is the trap of the material energy. So this particular chapter is very powerful because the chapter is called Description of Adverse Fruitive Activity. Any fruitive activity is adverse. Because fruitive activity means you're doing something because you want a result. Whether it's karma or vikarma. Krishna in Gita speaks of three types of karma. Karma, vikarma, akarma. So we know akama is spiritual activity, devotional activity, but vikama and karma both are adverse fruitive activity because they trap you in the material world. Whether you're doing pious activity or impious activity, they trap you in the same way. You become attached to sense gratification. The demigods are performing pious activity, but they're attached to sense gratification. The demons are performing vikama, impious activity, and they're attached to sense gratification. So it's the same thing. So this chapter says you have to overcome adverse fruitive activity. Because devotional service is not fruitive by definition. How does Rupa Goswami define it? Anyabhilashita sunyam. Jnana kamad yanavritam. It must be devoid of fruitive desire. If you're doing devotional service because you want something, that is not pure devotional service. Hands up if you're doing devotional service because you want something. Okay, 99%. A couple of, but most of us, we are mixed karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti. Our devotional service is mixed with some desire. It is not pure devotional service. We do devotional service, but we want something in return. You want something material, or even you want something subtle. Subtle means attachment, as Mahaprabhu says in Shikshastika, Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitam, Va Jagadisha, Kamaye. To perform devotional service, you have to overcome subtle material desires also, not just the gross things. We can give up the gross things, no illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling. You can give up those things, but in your mind and your heart, are you still attached to Dhanam, Janam, Sundarim, Kavitam? What is Dhanam? Right? Wealth. I do devotional service, but everyone gives me money. Right? Wherever I go and give a lecture, afterwards people come up and they give me envelopes with money. So what is my motivation? I get wealth. They give me Birkenstocks. Right? They give me Apple computers. They give me Samsonite suitcases. That's and sometimes we become attached. We do our devotional service because we get dhanam. Dhan. Na dhanam. Na janam. Jana means followers. You get followers. You become popular. You become adored. You become worshipped. And then that becomes the motivation for your bhakti. I do devotional service because everyone likes me. They like my lectures. They like my kirtan. Right? And they all glorify me. Right? So that's why I do my devotional service. So that's the subtle motivation. So you're not doing it because you want to do it for Krishna or Guru, but you're doing it because dhanam, janam, and then sundarim kavitam. This is the hardest thing to give up. Sundarim kavitam. Kavitam means poetry. Sundari means of the opposite sex. Right? When the opposite sex says, you are so wonderful, you gave such a nice lecture. Especially when the Matijis come, you give a lecture and then they come and they say, oh, Prabhu is such a nice lecture. Right? And then you hear the sweet words, the kavitam, of the opposite sex. And then that captures your consciousness. So you think, this is very good. All I have to do is lecture and everyone glorifies me. Right? And that's subtle sex life. And that means you're in Maya. You're still attached to the material energy. You're bound by the material energy. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, of all of the anartas, many weeds which grow in the heart. If you read the pastime of the Gundicha Marjana in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Gundicha Marjana means the cleaning of the Gundicha Mandir, the temple. Right? The temple, the cleaning of the temple is analogous to cleaning the temple of our heart. In other words, Jagannath, Krishna, will not come and sit in your heart until it is clean. So Lord Chaitanya, he cleaned the temple once and then he went back in the second time and cleaned it again. What was the first cleaning? Right? all the gross things. So, you know, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, all those things were cleaned out. But then the second cleaning, he went in to clean all the subtle things. And there are many subtle things. There are weeds. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavana Jeev. Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai. Bhakti Lata Bija. The Bhakti Lata means the creeper of the devotion. But the weeds, Prabhupada explains, and the acharyas explain, look just like the creeper. So you're watering. Sometimes you think you're watering your creeper of bhakti, but actually you're watering the weed. And there are many weeds which grow up. But of all the weeds, which one is the strongest?
Lust.
Of all the weeds, which one is the most difficult to pull out?
Pratishtha.
Yeah, very good. Pratishtha. What does pratishtha mean?
Pride,
prestige. Yeah, desire for recognition. I want to be recognized amongst the Vaishnavas. Pratishtha, that's very difficult. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the most difficult of all to pull out. All the other weeds are difficult to pull out, but that one is, and that one stays right till the end. Even when your bhakti is, when you're advanced devotee, but that weed is still there even when you're advanced. Because everyone is glorifying me. What could be better in the material world? What did I come here for? Glorification. Everyone's doing it, so it's perfect. So now I am prominent among the Vaishnavas. So that is called pratishtha. Very difficult. So these are adverse fruitive activities. If any of these things are mixed in with our bhakti, it's not kevala bhakti, it's not shuddha bhakti, it's not amala bhakti, it's not uttama bhakti, it's not pure devotion. These things must be taken out. So this chapter is very powerful. Why? Because this chapter describes all the things we have to take out of our heart. It's a very powerful chapter. Janayat yashu vairagyam. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga priyojita. Janayat yashu vairagyam. Gyanam chayat ahoitukam. Bhakti has two children. What are the names of the two children of Bhakti Devi? Two kids. What are the name of the two kids? Jnana and Vairagya. Right. Bhakti has two children. This is actually said by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya. What is that verse by Sarvabhaum Bhattacharya? Where he describes. Vairagya Vija Nija Bhakti Jogena. Vairagya Vija. The type of devotion that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought into this world is enriched with vairagya and vijja, knowledge and renunciation. You can recognize the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because they are detached and they are knowledgeable. They are, that is the glory of Lord Chaitanya's followers. You look at all of the great devotees within ISKCON, right? They're detached from the material energy and very knowledgeable about Krishna, about devotional service. Right? That is the qualification. So devotional service, when you perform it properly, these two things manifest. Jnana and Vairagya. Because you need these two to become detached from the material world. When you're advanced in Krishna consciousness, when you're a pure devotee, these two are there automatically. Because they are the children of bhakti. They're automatically there. If you're advanced, if you love Krishna, automatically you're knowledgeable and detached, automatically. So it's not important. But for us, on our level, because we're sadhakas, we're still trying to overcome the attachment to the material energy, these two are very important and necessary and they must be cultivated. So we have to cultivate vairagya, detachment, and we have to cultivate knowledge. Because knowledge breeds detachment. So therefore, it is necessary for the devotees to cultivate these two. So you see here, this particular chapter, what is it discussing? It is called Description of Adverse Fruitive Activities. The previous chapter was called, anyone remember? explanation of devotional service. So that was speaking about bhakti. This chapter is speaking about vairagya. Right? It's knowledge of vairagya detachment. Because we need to become detached from the material world. Right? Hands up if you're attached to the material world. Okay. So you should make it your service to study this chapter. Because this chapter will... Hey, you guys, you're making a lot of noise. You want to come and give class? You have to be a little bit quiet. So, you have to make it your service to study this chapter. Because this chapter is a catalyst, or it's a sharp object, like a knife or an axe or a sword, which will cut our attachment to this material world. The verses are very powerful. I was just reading through the verses. All these verses, extremely powerful. So all of us are stuck in the material world. Right? We're here now. And we want to get out. We all want to get out, but that's not so easy. So you have to become very detached. So this particular verse describes very nicely the living entity in whatever life, form of life he appears in a particular type of species, he's never averse to being situated in that condition. Right? And we all know the famous story. What's the famous story? Indra became cursed by Brihaspati, his guru. He offended the guru. What happens when you offend the guru? Big trouble. Right? In little China. Big trouble. You offend the guru? Guru Avagya. And it's called Sadhu Ninda Guru Avagya. Disobey the orders of the spiritual master. If you're not going to follow the orders of the spiritual master, then don't get initiated. Because you're just setting yourself up for trouble. Guru Avagya. It means ignoring. Guru says do something and you don't do it. That's offense. You disobey the orders of the spiritual master. Third offense against the holy name. If you disobey the orders of the spiritual master, you will become devoid of connection to Krishna. Because all of us are only connected to Krishna through Guru Vaishnavas. What Vandeham, Sri Guru. Guru means... We have so many gurus. The day I got initiated by my guru, right here in Melbourne, I went up to have darshan with him before the initiation up there in the darshan room. And then he said to me, the day I got initiated, he said, don't think it will just be me who will take you back to Godhead. You will require the help of many. He said, don't just form a relationship with me. Form a relationship with many personalities, because it will take many to take you back to Krishna. So Sri Guru means... Sri Guru, Yutapada Kamanam, Sri Gurun Vaishnava, that's plural. Sri Gurun Vaishnava means cha. Gurun Vaishnavas. Right? Many of the Vaishnavas will become our gurus. Right? And by the help of the gurus and the Vaishnavas, right, we become connected to Krishna. Right? If you offend guru and Vaishnavas, you become disconnected from Krishna. That is the system. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, and Gobibhatu Bada Kamaliyo, Dasa Dasa Anodasa. Right? Krishna says to Arjuna in the Adi Purana, one who says he's my devotee, he is not my devotee. One who says he is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. Yeah? So the philosophy is there. We're only connected to Krishna through Guru and Vaishnavas. Otherwise we're not connected to Krishna. So the third offense is to offend or disobey the orders of the spiritual master. If you disobey the order of the spirit, you become disconnected. Right? Srila Prabhupada says, the order of the spiritual master is the pride of the disciple. If you get an order from the guru, that is your treasure. That is your most valuable possession. The guru gave me an instruction. Now you must follow it. Prabhupada says when the guru gives an instruction, he also gives the potency or ability to fulfill the instruction within it. Sometimes the guru gives you instruction, you think, how can I do that? How is that possible? But as soon as you surrender to Krishna and to guru, then it becomes possible. Prabhupada said, perform Herculean tasks in the service of Krishna. Prabhupada gave the power to the devotees. There are so many pastimes there. And what about the time Prabhupada was on the train going through Delhi with 40 disciples? Right? And the train pulled up and he looked at four of them and he said, get off the train and start a temple. Right? So picked up their bags, got off the train, got on the platform, Prabhupada just waved. And then the train kept going, and they're just standing on the platform. Start a temple. Prabhupada did these things. Prabhupada did those things. Because in the instruction of the guru came the potency to fulfill the instruction, and a temple began. And now in Delhi we have so many temples. Right, big temples. Right? All came from the instruction of the guru. So, if you stop following the instruction of the spiritual master, you become disconnected. So therefore, in the morning, we chant 10 offenses against the holy name. Right? 8 of the offenses are overcome by cultivating knowledge. Right? Number 2, and then number 4 to 10. Right? How do you overcome those offenses? You cultivate knowledge. If you're committing those 8 offenses, that means you don't have proper knowledge. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to be imagination. I mean, it just means you don't have deep enough knowledge and understanding. You need to cultivate more knowledge. To commit sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. That means your understanding is not correct. All of these things, that's how they're overcome. But 2 of the offences, if you commit them, the only way to overcome them, you have to go to the person who you have offended and beg forgiveness. So what is the first offence? Sadhu Ninda. To blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. First offence. So the only way to overcome that offence, you have to go to the devotees and beg forgiveness. I'm sorry, Prabhu. I committed some aparad. And then, if the devotee, he will forgive. Because the nature of the devotee is compassionate. And the third offence means you disobey the order of the guru. The only way to overcome that offence, you have to go to the guru and say, Guru Maharaj, please forgive me, I disobeyed your order. Right? And then he will chastise you, purify you, atone you, and then you can move on. Otherwise, those offences. So, offence number 1 and 3 are intimately connected. If you offend devotees, you'll lose your taste for Krishna consciousness, and then you'll begin to disobey the orders of your guru. If you disobey the orders of your guru, you'll lose your taste for Krishna consciousness, you'll begin to offend devotees. They're both connected. So we have to be very careful. So what did Indra do? He offended Brihaspati. Minimize the position of the guru. Do not minimize the position of the guru. Also, don't minimize the position of the guru's followers either. We're very good at glorifying the guru, but we step on the head of all the devotees in the process. Sometimes you see, like, the guru's here, the temple's crowded, and the devotees walk in with a cup of water, you know, stand on everyone else, move everyone else out of the way, just so they can give the cup of water to the guru. So it means you are offending the devotees to serve the guru. That is also not wanted. So Brihaspati was offended. All right? So then he cursed Indra. Okay, you want to act ignorantly? You want to disobey your guru? Become a pig. Right? Heavy offense. Right? It's heavy. You know, if you offend a guru, like a very powerful devotee, it's a heavy offense. You get a heavy reaction. Just like there was one servant of Prabhupada, one time he came to Prabhupada, and he actually said this. He came to Prabhupada, he said, Prabhupada, please bless me that I'll find a real guru. Right. He's still in this world. He's a professor in America. He was initiated by Prabhupada. He was Prabhupada's personal servant at one time. He said to Prabhupada, please bless me that I'll find a real guru. Prabhupada said, I bless you, you'll find a real guru after 30,000 lifetimes. Yeah, you want to wear that curse? Right? And he can atone for it. He can atone for it, but he still hasn't atoned. He's still separate. Well, he still practices spiritual life. He's got his own guru and everything. But that's a heavy curse to take. So when these people, you don't want to offend devotees, but you don't want to offend advanced devotees. So Brihaspati said, become a pig. That's a heavy curse. So Indra became a pig. No? But then what is the nature? The Bhagavatam is explaining in this verse, what is the nature? Whatever situation, then you become attached to it. So he became attached to being a pig, right? He got married. Right? And she was beautiful. Aren't pigs attractive? When you see a female pig, doesn't lust arise in your heart? Right? But if you're in a pig body, nothing looks better than a female pig, a sow. Nothing looks better. This is the power of Maya. Right? So he had three kids. Right? Huey, Dewey, Louie. Three beautiful little kids. Right? And he was attached. Yeah, kids would come up to him every day. Nothing is, you know, it says in the Vedas actually, that the material energy, she empowers each species of life that their children will have a cuteness about them. And it's that cuteness which makes us, it captures the heart. It makes us look after the kids. Otherwise, usually the kids drive you nuts. Right? But because they're cute, you put up with the austerity. Okay, they just threw up on me. They just passed water on me. Yeah, now I've got to change the sandalwood in their nappy. They do so much to disturb you, but because they're cute, you tolerate it as a fact. Because the material energy empowers every species, so the children will be cute. Even a cockroach, when they're little, they're cute. No? Material energy gives potency to every species, right? So then his little pigs, they captured his heart. They would come up in the morning, they'd say, and then he would say, right? And they'd have beautiful conversations. It was like music to his ears. And they were so attached. So then, Lord Brahma came. He said, okay, enough's enough. We've got problems in the heavenly planets. Right? So he came down to Indra. He said, okay, enough is enough. Back. Right? You have duty to perform. He said, no, no, no. He said, oh, I'm not leaving this. Right? So Brahma had to give darshan. Okay, I'll show you the future. This is tomorrow. The farmer comes with a knife and he goes, like that. When he saw that, he woke up. And he said, okay, and then back to being Indra again. So that's the power of the material, that's the power of Maya. Maya is so powerful. So then the question is, how do we overcome Maya? Maya is so powerful. How do we overcome our attachments? Param jishtva nivartate. Krishna says in Gita, our whole philosophy is this one point. The only way to give up the lower thing, your attachment to the material energy, is by cultivating the higher thing, the higher taste. Right? That is the philosophy of the Hare Krishna movement. Higher taste. Right? Because we're very deeply attached to enjoying in this material world. Deeply attached to enjoying. I've spoken to gurus in our movement and they said, very deep this attachment. Even sometimes you see very advanced devotees struggle with material desires. Because it is so powerful, this material energy, so deeply inherent. So many lifetimes, Brahmanda Brahmite, lifetimes have just wandered through species of life. It's inherent within us. And now we come to Krishna consciousness. And the only way to overcome your lower taste, you have to get a higher taste. It's not easy to be a devotee for many years. You see, how many senior devotees? Ends up you've been a devotee more than 10 years. More than 10. One, two, three. No, you don't have to be, just ask. You have to, oh my God. Hands up, you've been more than 10 years. Okay, so one, two, three, four, five. About five, six, seven. About six or seven in the whole temple, right? Why is there not, there aren't many devotees here who've been here 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years? Because it's not easy to maintain your enthusiasm year after year after year. It's a challenge. And you have to continuously challenge yourself. You have to find. And you have to find Amrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, devotional service is Amrita Duni. Amrita Duni means it's a river of nectar. That's what devotional service is. Hands up if you're swimming in that river of nectar. You have to be. You have to be. All of us should, everyone should have put their hand up. Because if you're not, you're not going to stay around. Right? You won't stay enthusiastic. You want to do this for your whole life with full enthusiasm. You want to increase in your enthusiasm as time goes by. You want to get more taste for devotional service. You want to become more attached to Krishna. Otherwise, you leave Krishna consciousness. People leave for so many reasons. Or they lessen their commitment. We should be increasing our commitment. One time, my Guru Maharaj, he said, there's many reasons why people leave Krishna consciousness, but he said, one reason is, and it's a very intrinsic and important and significant reason, is because we don't become attached to Krishna. You have to become attached to Krishna. When you're attached to someone, you can't leave them. No? Do you have anyone in your life that you're so attached to you cannot leave? Hands up if you've got someone that you cannot break the relationship with. One person, very good. Two, three, four, five. Now everyone's starting to think, oh yeah, that's right. Oh yeah, I met someone one time. Yeah, I can't. Right? But they should, you know, everyone should put their hand up. Something you cannot live without. You know, I can't live without my guru. Okay, he's not on the planet anymore, but I can't live without him. I can't sever my relationship. Many of the devotees sitting here, I can't sever my relationship with. Right? I'll be there with you for your whole life. You can't get rid of me. I know you want. I know you want to. Sometimes I just wish you would disappear, but that's not possible. Right. So many people you become attached to, but the person you have to become most attached to is Krishna. And if you're attached to him, you can't leave. Because he is so sweet. He is too sweet. What's his name?
Krishna.
What does that mean?
All attractive.
All attractive. So if someone's all attractive and you're not attached to them, what does that mean? You've got a problem. That's what it means. You've got a serious problem. If you're not attached and attracted to this person, you have a serious problem. So how do you become attracted and attached to him? Hearing and chanting about him. The more you hear about him, the more you chant about him, the more you become attracted to him. 1970, Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book. Right? And Prabhupada said this book is non-different from Krishna. Right? When I was a brahmachari, Amala Bhakti Prabhu, one of the Prabhupada's disciples, he did audio version of Krishna book. So he's reading the Krishna book onto tape. So when I was a brahmachari, because I used to listen to lectures a lot, I still listen every day to lectures, but when I was brahmachari, every day between 2 hours and 4 hours a day, I was listening to lectures. While I'm taking bath in the morning, while I'm driving in the car, while I'm, whatever I'm doing, just listening all the time, all the time, all the time. That's the beauty of brahmachari life. Prabhupada said brahmachari life is best. Brahmacharini life is best. You don't have anything else to do. Now I'm grihastha. Now I'm down the well. So, you know, I still, every day I probably listen about an hour a day. But back in those days, 2 hours a day, 4 hours a day, that was my quota for years and years and years. So, the Krishna book, audio, I would listen to each tape, because I'd listen to it again and again and again. I'd listen to each one about 10 times before I go to the next one. And then another, just devouring the Krishna book. Right? And what's the result? You get to know Krishna. You become attached to him. Guess what? He's a fantastic person. He's an amazing person. So we should become attached to him. So if you become attached, then you cannot leave Krishna God. So that is the only way to overcome the material energy. The only way to overcome the material energy, you have to become attached to Krishna. You have to get param drishtva nivartate. Nivartate means give up. You can only give up this material world by becoming attached to him. So this chapter is all about giving up. It is about vairagya. It's a powerful chapter. The instructions are very powerful. You read the verse. I just read the verses just before. Very powerful. But that's not enough. That's not enough. Okay, you give up your attachment to the material world, but then the soul needs something. And you have to become attached to Krishna. I was listening to a lecture this morning, and the Swami who was speaking, he said that Srimati Radharani is always meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. And the Sanskrit says his lotus feet are like a maha utsava, like a festival. Just like when there's a festival, we all become... So Radharani, because she's always meditating on Krishna's feet, she's absorbed in a festival. Because wherever Krishna walks, it becomes a festival. It's like a walking Janmashtami. You know what Janmashtami is like? Right? Janmashtami is the only morning of the year where you can't get into the temple. Right? It's so packed. You know there's something going on. You know, you come at 25 past 4 on Janmashtami morning, you know there's something going on. It's just as there's an atmosphere. So Krishna's feet are like that. Wherever when you're with Krishna, it's just like, it's Janmashtami. It is. It's like a walking festival. And just wherever he goes in the forest, there's just this festival taking place. Everyone's in ecstasy. And then he stops. He says, okay, holy. Right? And then all the paraphernalia manifests for holy. And everyone starts, holy. Right? And then he says, Jaukeli. They jump into the river and they have water sports. Right? And then he says, Rasalila. And they all dance, something, music starts, and then everyone starts dancing. So it's a festival, it just moves. And then he says, okay, prasad. Anyone want prasad?
Jai! Arivo!
So suddenly out of the forest, is this whole feast just go. Does it sound good? Does it sound attractive? Or would you rather stay in the material world and sit on a toilet? We're attached to the material energy. We're all attached to this material world. This material world is a smelly place. It's a vile place, but we're attached to this. So what is that called? Pramatta. Pramatta means pagal. This whole material world is God. You know, when you come from the spiritual world to the material world, did you pass the sign? So long ago you forgot. But there's a sign. As you walk into the material world, it says, pagal baba ashram. Right? Ashram for crazy people. Go. Have your time. Right? And when you get it out of your system, Krishna says, okay, come back. Normal place. But this is just a place for the crazy people. Right? We're all crazy. And now we're in between. Because now we put ourselves into the hospital to get cured. Right? And we know we have a disease, but now we're trying to get cured of the disease. And who's the doctor? Yeah. Prabhupada and his representatives, they're the doctors. And they're giving us the medicine. What is the medicine? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Sri Krishna Sankirtana ki
Jai.
So this is the medicine. Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyaha, always chant. Do you have any problems in your life? Hands up if you have any problems. If you want to overcome your problems, right? Lord Chaitanya says, Kirtaniyaha, if you follow that one instruction, you don't have any problems. It's only because we don't follow that instruction we've got so many problems. Because when you're chanting, actually there's no problems. Okay, there's difficulties there, but they're not problems. Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. What's the big deal? Actually, that's a fact. And what is the diet? You're a sick person, you have to overcome the diet. The diet is?
Puri, sabji, gulab jamun, fiber, khichdi.
Yeah, prasad. That's the diet. You take prasad, you will become purified in consciousness. That's a fact. Prasadam is extremely powerful, especially this prasad. Prasad must be respected, honored. That's a whole other lecture. I could lecture about it. But it's a fact, actually. I went the other night because normally I don't take the 7 o'clock offering because it's very rich. But yeah, I'd been fasting all day and then I had to give class and I couldn't concentrate, so I thought I'll take a little. So I went in the kitchen just to grab. But the way the devotees came in, they were all taking it and everything, it wasn't honouring prasadam. Not very nice consciousness. Everyone's just like snatching and grabbing like this. It's not nice. The whole mood when you take prasad, you should serve the other devotees, and it's not proper. That's a whole other subject matter. But the basic premise is, okay, prasad will purify you. And the medicine is hearing and chanting about Krishna. And when you do those two things, you cure your disease, you go back to Godhead. Back home, back to Godhead, Key.
Jai!
Okay, we'll stop here, see if there's any questions or comments, what we discussed. Yeah, because Prabhupada's instructions were like that. Mm. When Prabhupada was on the planet, he wrote one letter to one of his disciples, said, you should not go to Mangaladi, you should stay back and look after your child. Mm. And he said, actually, your child is your deity. He said, that is your deity worship. It was just they didn't follow Prabhupada's instructions. Mm. That was the problem. Prabhupada did give us the right instructions, so.
How can we overcome this enjoying spirit in our devotional activities? Sometimes you might think, oh, I'd rather like some disturbs because there's more ecstasy in it. I don't want to do that stuff. So, how?
Yeah, it means that if you're given a service by the guru, by Krishna, by the devotees, by the temple authorities, it means that's the service that Krishna wants you to do. So whatever the service is, you have to do it with full enthusiasm. Now, each devotee has a psychophysical makeup, right? Each devotee is different. We have a psychophysical makeup. We're conditioned differently. We have different body, different mind to each other. So the guru and the authorities, they will see the nature of the proclivity of the particular devotee and engage him according to his nature. Because Krishna says in the Gita in the 18th chapter, you get purified when you act according to your nature. He says, if you do someone else's duty, that is dangerous. So you have to do. So they will, in time, in the beginning you just do whatever you're asked. But in time, you have to do the activity which is purifying for you. So that will come in due course of time. But whatever you're asked to, you do it with full enthusiasm. And if you have a particular service you like, which enthuses you, like, you know, you like book distribution, so you go to your authority and say, I really like this service. Can we increase. The authorities will make arrangements, they will increase. Is it okay? It's like when Sadaputta Prabhu joined them. You know Sadaputta Prabhu? He was a scientist. He wrote books about science and Krishna. He passed away. He's a disciple of Prabhupada. So when he joined the temple, he was digging holes. Right? Because no one asked him what he was. The guy was like a brilliant scientist. Right? So he's digging holes. And then after, you know, a week, someone says, oh, so what were you doing before you became a devotee? He said, oh, I studied science. I have a PhD in science. Oh, really? Okay. So they brought him to the Bhaktivedanta Institute, and then he wrote books and he preached. And then the movement will benefit the best as well. Prabhupada would always do that. When someone came, he would say, what do you do? And when they found, okay, now you do that for Krishna. Oh, you're an artist? Okay, now you paint for Krishna. Yeah. Whatever Prabhupada would say, whatever the nature was. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj, he said that if the Guru thinks he is Guru, he becomes Guru. Means he becomes a cow. Means his mentality is like an animal. So for the Guru, it's a great challenge. It's a big challenge. I was speaking to one of the Gurus in our movement, and he said to me, yeah, it's a challenge like that. Because Maya, you put so many offerings to you like that. So the mentality of the Guru is that he has to become transparent and offer everything to Krishna, to his Guru and then to Krishna. So that, you know, the Guru does that to the best of his ability. And if there's any impurity there, if he's keeping anything for himself, then Krishna will set fire, will burn. So you see in our movement, you see there are many qualified gurus. Why are they qualified? Because they're doing their best to offer everything to Guru and Krishna. And then eventually you become purified because it's a service to Krishna. Being a guru is a service. So you become purified by that service, then gradually you become completely pure. Is that okay?
At the same time, like when you see some senior devotee, sometimes you just, even though you don't want to, but you feel like there's some ego, there's some, you know, they have some. So what is that thing? How to avoid that thing? It's not an ego, you feel. How to avoid?
We have to learn to become humble in our consciousness. We can look at someone else, any devotee, we can look and say, oh, this devotee's got all these problems. We can all see each other's problems because we live with each other every day, right? So we all know. But then what we need to concentrate on more importantly is what we have wrong in our consciousness. So if you detect something in a senior devotee, you think, okay, maybe that's there. Maybe it's my misconception that I'm seeing that because Atmavan Manyate Jagat, I see it like that because I have that problem. Or maybe it is there, but you know, you look at that and you just think humbly, okay, but they're an advanced devotee, they're a senior devotee, they're doing so much service. So let me serve humbly, right? And if there's some discrepancy there, Krishna will remove that. Like that. Worry about yourself more than everyone else. If your service is to go around and tell everyone else what their problem is, then what is your name? No. So, if you do like that, then your title is Guru Maharaj, because right? It is the senior devotee's service to point out the faults of the other devotees. That's the service. You know, if I see something that someone's doing wrong, right, and I can see, oh, there's a discrepancy there. They're not behaving properly, or not speaking properly, or not doing the service properly. I have to say something. If I don't, then I'm neglecting my service. Right? So that is the service. So the senior devotee, the gurus, that is their service, to point out the defects, to improve, lift everyone up. Yeah. So we should concentrate on ourselves, mainly. unless that is your service to point out the faults of the devotees. But then you have to do it in the proper way also. Is that okay? Okay. Any other question?
In that corner.
Just a comment that I read about the blessing Prabhupada gave to that Prabhu, that actually he said, I gave him that blessing, actually blessing on curse, because he would have got much worse reaction than that. And about the seeing Maya and children and family, it's actually not the objects which are Maya for us, but it's our way of thinking. The function of the false ego is that it makes us relate things to us. So, okay, and we accept and reject. So, okay, this will give me pleasure or give me security. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, stop indebting for gaining safety. So this is, okay, this is good for me, this is not good for me, this is safe for me. So if we see the wife and children in this way, if we relate them to us, we'll accept them. But if then we have the other side of the medal, we still say, okay, these are threats for my spiritual life. This is the other side of the medal, accepting and rejecting, and you relate it to you. That's the function of false ego. You relate things to you, and the real ego is you relate things to Krishna. You see, okay, if I have to get married, if Krishna wants me to get married, I will get married. So what you want me to do for you, Krishna, in this situation? What you want me to do for this person? What you want me to do for this? What you want me to do in this situation? If you put me in this situation, what you want me to do? That's the real ego. You relate things to Krishna. It's a very simple and basic thing. It's in the way we think, the way we see the things. Yeah. This is Maya, not outside, but it's inside.
Yeah, it's true. Good point. Any other question? Comment? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.